rural economic environment. So how is the economic environment of rural India? So let's understand that part very well. In this particular slide, a few aspects are touch base, Dhyane. Rural economy or environment has basically the farm sector and non-farm sector. Clearly two divide. It has been looked upon from what is the contribution from the farm sector and what is the contribution from the non-farm sectors. Yeah. So we will, as we move forward, we will study them. The farm sectors, earlier Indian agriculture was a food grain based economy where scarcity of food was giving them the boost and agriculture, but veracity of monsoon, yani, the water was not really reaching the village. As a result, they were dependent on the natural monsoon available or the natural calamity, as you say. So we were always in short supply of food grains and all. As a result, the income capability of the farmers also was affected, which is not the case nowadays. In many areas, better water connectivity makes the village not really dependent on the monsoon. Road conditions helps them to expand their market. They can sell their produce where they get a better rate, etc. So the farm sector contribution rural economy is now taken a positive turn. Dependency led to non-dependency, and they are now therefore going to grow. Non-farm sectors, various non-farm sectors have started growing there. Yani, the subsidiary industries, the other industrial hubs have started coming. The areas have started being utilized for secondary sectors like pottery, food, textile, processing, etc. Tertiary sectors like education, personal healthcare, etc. As I told you, naturally those aspirations need those services to be closer home, and as a result, the medical, the healthcare and various other services, education, aspirations to make their children study more. So as education comes in, people want mobility, therefore the transport and, you know, vehicle based this thing also is growing. So, the friends, the non-farm sector born because there are need for the forward and backward integrations of the produce that happen in the area. Whatever that you produce needs to be sold off or moved. So, therefore, that movement, various other connectivity were needed. Agriculture certainly contributes, but now as you can see, non-farm sector is expected to account for 60% of the rural GDP, but it employs only 27% of the workforce, yani. So yes, non-farm sectors revenue contribution is growing, but employment into non-farm sector is less, obviously, because non-farm sectors use lot of technology, lot of machines, etc. As a result, the requirement of manpower is less. In agriculture, it is highly manpower driven agriculture economy. Even in India today, mechanization has still long way to go in agriculture in India. As a result, this is a state, yeah. So this is a state that is going to change gradually, but we need to understand what is the current economic state in rural economy. So this particular slide explains you that the two sectors of rural economy, one is the farm sector and non-farm sector. Farm sector accounts for agri and allied agri products. So agriculture, animal husbandry, dairy, poultry, etc. So they are allied agricultural products like horticulture, fishing, etc. While in the non-farm sector is a rural industry and rural service. So it's a product and it's a service. Both comes under non-farm. So yeah, product wise, agro processing, manufacturing of handlooms and various other produce, mining and quarrying, etc. Constructions also come under the produce. While the services are like retailing, community, social, healthcare, transport, education and communication and many more. Idea is that you must remember farm, non-farm. Farm has only one particular line, which is agri and agri husbandries, etc. So allied agri, so to say, while in non-farm, it's a product and service that you must really understand. Below that, you can write few aspects probably on your own also. So in terms of occupation, that we are trying to understand what is changing in rural economy. The main occupation type in Indian villages are, of course, agriculture and allied agriculture, this thing. However, non-agri is definitely growing. Since the ancient period, Indian villages have been involved in various agri-based occupations, yani, which is now changing. Today, shift is towards non-agri. But yes, as you saw earlier, non-agri employs less number of people because they are more mechanized. In today's world, the evolution and advancement of the industrial and technological sectors opened up a lot of opportunity. So there are many opportunity which is locally getting created even within villages. It is today possible to have an education hub near the village. It is possible to have a market near your village because the accessibility being good, farm produce can reach, a raw material can come in, you can go to the market where you have a better yield possible, etc. So all those things are opening up various opportunities, land being available in plenty, so non-agri units are coming in, etc. So this is how the overall occupation platform or the landscape is also changing in rural India, moving away from agri to non-agri. But yes, non-agri still continues to be employing less number of people. Dependency of agriculture on people is still very high because of lower mechanization. That aspect is also changing significantly with the tractor number, the implement sale number that you can see. This is also changing. The agriculture is also becoming more and more mechanized. So as a result, number of people required to yield better agriculture produce is going to go down. So this shift is going to happen that they will have to move to the non-agri kind of industries, or they have to come to city for better employment and all. Land holding, which is another aspects of rural India that one need to really understand. Land in rural India is more than an input for agriculture. It is a symbol of power, prestige, security and social. Kitna bhiga jameen aap occupy kar rahe ho, that determines your stature in the rural, the village in which you are. So therefore, jamindars and those people really want to have more and more land in their name. Land ownership in India is extremely fragmented. The unfortunate part is it is very fragmented. Lands are like a large piece of land is divided among family members, etc. As a result, then various agricultural challenges which come in. That fragmentation is not giving you the economy of scale. As a result, the mechanization is lower. All this is impacted your produce, the productivity of your farmland. This, of course, table gives you an idea. Not that you need to really be explained this, but it covers for you the number of household holdings, average land areas, etc. What is an operated area within that? Therefore, the percentage of operated area. Now, look at this, These figures are not more than 25%. So, the operated area due to various reasons are just 1/4 of the available land holding. So, that's where India lacks. This needs to change as we move forward. Land holding pattern needs to change as we move forward. Or if not the pattern, the operated area of the land needs to grow much faster. So, both agriculture and non-agriculture industry gets into movement. Small and marginal farmer with less than 2 hectares of land account for 85% of the farmers, but just 44.5% of the cropped area. So this is a very startling revelation. 85% of the land is fragmented, just 2 hectares and less, and they just own 45% of the cropped area. So this area, 85% of the area just produces or gives you 44% of the cropped area. So you can see that the reasons, various reasons due to which cropped area is far less. So that earlier table I showed you, that area is just 25% or less. That's a result of this kind of a disconnect within the land holding pattern. In comparison, semi-medium and medium and land holding farmers own between 2 to 10 hectares of the land and account for 14% of the all farmers, but own almost 44%. So small fraction of farmers own large land areas. That also impacts the cropping area of the country. Overall, while Indian farmers become more fragmented, land holding continues to be inequitably distributed. So finding is fragmentation is still a challenge. Fragmentation is still impacting the output land available, and as a result, overall productivity is lower across than the world, what world gets it. So that's one challenging aspects that need to be attended. Further, these 126 million farmers together own just 74% of the land. Other land areas are being used for other reasons. So we have understood the land holding pattern, the diversity in that, the disconnect within, and the fragmentation which is leading to only 25% on an average output areas are being utilized of the land, and as a result, the produce, the productivity of the land available in rural area is not encouraging compared to the world standard. Now we come to the income profile. So how is the income profile is within the rural India? That is what we are trying to understand. Based on the district development index, yani the DDI as they call, the which is district development index, which in represents what is the growth in that particular district. Rural India has been sliced up into three different clusters: developed rural, emerging rural, and underdeveloped rural. So there are three divisions of the rural districts. They are self-explanatory. Developed rural means the there is a significant growth has already happened. Emerging rural is that's a rural area which has shown a sign of development, and underdeveloped rural is it's not really developing. There is need to do something more there. Yani. So with that DDI index, this is how the division happens. So let's understand that the first category include districts such as Bathinda in Punjab, as they say, ke bhai, very rich area. Yani. Okay, Kangra in Himachal. The second category includes districts such as Latur in Maharashtra, Kamrup in Assam. So that is second is the emerging rural, what we are talking about. Okay. And the last category include districts such as Kalahandi in Odisha and Bastar in Chhattisgarh. Bastar was once upon a time a very poor, dacoit ridden area, which is now got into underdeveloped rural, and now it will show gradually the change happening. But these are representative names. You probably can find out about these things when you visit any websites of Government of India and get into the DDI index understanding. It will be an interesting finding for you, or at least the area, the state from which you belong to. And one must really attempt that. Urban India has been divided into four clusters. Yeah. Metro, population of more than 5 million, boom towns, yeah, as they say, which is 2.5 to 5 million, niche cities, yeah, that is a small 1 to a 2.5 million, and other urban town which is less than 1 million. So, metro India is divided into four clusters. Same is the case with the rural India, but each has its own different definitions. This understanding helps you as a marketer. When you have to develop your marketing plan, this understanding will help you to decide where to go, how to go, etc. So, as we move forward and when we get into the marketing in rural areas, this some of the aspects will get more clearer. Another graph or the slide that represents to you the diversity of the income within the rural India. And as you can see, the average household in metro earns and saves twice as much on an average household in the underdeveloped rural areas. So, we have seen that underdeveloped rural area versus the metro. This is a diversity. What needs to be seen is this area, expenditure to income ratio. So, how much the spend is happening vis-a-vis the income. Now, in the metro, the spend level is almost 59%. And when you go to urban undeveloped rural areas, that is 66%. More or less, on an average, 60% of our spend goes, our income goes into various spend that we do. So, the saving is remaining. This is a figure, yani, that is represented to you. I have earlier touched base to you that on an average, monthly income in rural India is about 9,000, which is kind of, that is what is the average rural income earns, yani, and there are some similar number of people available in urban India. This really shows you that this is a finding that comes in. Yani. So, metro earning and spending is more. Rural India earns equally good, yani, but spend is little less, yani, or more or less in line with the urban counterpart. So, this 59 vis-a-vis 66, yes, it indicates that probably underdeveloped rural area spends more, but their earning is also less, yani. As you can see, 16,000 vis-a-vis 29,000-30,000 of metro areas, yani. So, this aspects helps you to decide again where to go. So, now you as a marketer need to decide target where you want to go. So, then based on that, who all can afford your product? So, based on that, then you decide that I will get into niche cities or I will get into developed rural. You need to really plan yourself, then find out who falls under developed rural, and then prepare your plan to reach there, penetrate, expose the population to your marketing products, etc., and then gather the volume for you. So, this aspect is taught to you from the perspective of income expenditure diversity vis-a-vis this classification of that rural India and the metro are this thing. So, this as a marketer is a very important understanding that you need to have. Average income of the household living in metro is like 29,000. The same thing is represented to you in a bullet form. Jane, while half the time of the average income is sold in underdeveloped areas. Jane, and half is 2.5 times the average income of the household living in underdeveloped areas. So that is 16,000 versus 29,000. That is what it is translating into. The average consumption expenditure household living in the metro is at 17,641 vis-a-vis the roughly 2 times the average consumption expenditure of the household living in an underdeveloped area. Again, this is 17,000 versus 11,000. So, 2 times, etc. I wanted to take it with a pinch of salt, but this is, we are trying to inform you as to the diversity in the income and expenditure. Interestingly, the average income and average consumption expenditure of the household in developed rural area is roughly equal to that of the city and metro. 66% versus 60%. So, that is what was earlier overall understanding that one needed to have. This underlines the profound influence of education on the household earnings. While there are illiterate across all the income, there are better educated people who drive aspiration-led consumption and therefore the expenditure. So, because of equally good exposure that the metro or consumers have and the underdeveloped rural might have, as a result, the aspirations are there to use products which are satisfying the need with the disposable income or the per level of income that they both spent. The consumption or the market or the change in the rural market is far more attractive than the growth in the urban market. So, that's the overall learning which we try to have. How the consumption patterns are changing or what changes the consumption pattern of the Indian rural sector is changing rapidly due to following few catalysts. Following are the points which has led to the change in the consumption pattern. Exposure level. I have earlier also mentioned to you, they are far more equally now exposed. Gone are the areas where you used to see certain thing before and they used to see certain thing after. With the satellite television, the DTH in every house, the mobile connectivity with the 4G streaming happening, etc. What video that you can see can be seen by them also. What would you search can be searched by them. So, as a result, their exposure level is expanding. Government-led initiatives, as a result, the digitalization or the availability of digital connectivity to those who probably are not exposed. So, that computers, stations and all are also there. So, people can approach there and get what information that they want, etc. So, this exposure level is zooming in and as a result, simultaneous exposure builds the aspirations and aspiration leads to your desire to satisfy your need. Yani. That is what is leading to the spent in rural area. So, this is one reason why the consumption pattern has changed. Increase in literacy level. Education for girl child was once upon a time was a taboo. No girl can move out of the four walls of the house. Today, the scenario is far more changed. Our new government over last 5 years, Beti Padhao, Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao, and similar such initiatives. I am not saying that the new government necessarily, even the old government has put in a lot of effort to make girl child also learn equally well. So, overall the index of educated people in rural India has increased. This has led to their migrating to cities also. Because after you acquire a knowledge, you need to have a working opportunities, that employment opportunities, which was so far or even probably today still metro-centric. This needs to of course change over a period, which government is trying its level best to retain the rural youth within rural India. But this and various other reasons have led to the change in the consumption pattern. When they move to metro India, their changes, the preferences are changing and therefore they also want to acquire items which others are using. The social change that affects the age-old practice of investing in the land is now changing. Land is no more an attractive proposition for investment. People are choosing to invest in derivatives, commodities, share markets, etc. So, even those things are now changing. The habits of investments are changing and that is leading to social change across. This change is impacting the consumption pattern of the rural consumers. This all-round increase in the economic activity. So, earlier it was confined to various areas, but with the proliferation of data, education and availability of goods and connectivity, various economic activities are undergoing a change leading to the consumption pattern really drastically getting impacted. traders have now opportunity to go to rural area and open shops, which earlier was a impossible consideration. With the connectivity and availability of land and all, it is possible to open the shops in the rural areas. The multinationals and the FMCG companies are finding a different channel altogether to reach. The city-based channel was like there is a wholesale stockist, then there is a city stockist, then there is a retail stockist. FMCG are now trying to see that how they can reach the goods directly to the rural traders. So that interim channel, this thing is sliced out, and overall they are able to pass on a benefit to the rural consumers by offering same product at a reasonably economical rates. On one end, this has led to the availability of packaged goods and all other products that we consume here. The Lux that I use or the Lifebuoy that I use is also available in the rural areas, and therefore they also have an aspiration to use them. What Kajal that Kartina Kaif has sold to the young lady in urban India, same is aspirational for the rural girl, and as a result they also want to buy it. And so all this is leading to a change. A receptive public has accepted the packaged products, washing machines. Earlier women have no problem going to the pond and wash their clothes. Now the washing machines have reached the home, and water availability has made it possible for them to have the washing machine installed at home. So this thing and similar such things are changing. And they also want to now have that soft drink, thumbs up, what used to give us a kick, when Salman used to say, taste the thunder. Same taste the thunder they also want to experience. So this is what is changing. And this clearly indicates that a vast market is open and yet to open in the rural sector. What is the mention is the core may be confined to 9 million households today, but there are 24 million other households waiting to join. So all earlier changes that I have discussed and indicated to you have still influenced say like 9 million houses, and there are 24 million households still needs to be touched. So you can imagine the potential that is going to get opened out in near future and the mid year and after that, few years after this. So that is the potential that the change in consumption pattern is going to bring for the product to reach the rural market and get the market there. So we have understood various aspects like consumption pattern change, infrastructure and all in earlier slides. Now we come to a stage where we want to understand what is government doing to bring the change. So government of today is a different government, and various initiatives are in place. So government of India planned various initiatives, the infrastructure in rural areas which can have a multiplier effect. So there is a strong focus on building infrastructure, road connectivity, water, electricity, etc. Increasing movements of the goods and services, create a transport hub, develop logistics hub, develop local markets. All this thing is going to bring movement of the goods, both raw material and finished goods from one end to the other end. Improve earning potential of the rural area subsequently, so that this leads to the each producer of the rural economy is able to find the better market for him, go there and sell the product, so that overall he is expected to earn better, and that better income with low cost of living, better disposable income therefore will increase his consumption, change his consumption pattern towards a better product, lifestyle product, etc. So that's a proliferation of brands and all will come in there. So some of the initiatives, let's understand the 10 million houses for the rural population is now going to be built. That's a commitment that government has given, and they are very speedily chasing this target. The government of India aims to provide the tap water nearly to every household by 2030. So every household in India should have a tap connection, so the water in-house. So that is what is the aim with which they are working. These programs are backed up by the United Nations, the World Bank organization is providing funding, government is utilizing it effectively, so that the rate of these developments have really reached a threshold level, and I see no difficulty in achieving this target. So thus the funding of almost 23,000 crore has been approved for this project, and government is moving in the right direction, controlling the various other leakages in the spend, etc. As a result, overall, as you can see, that government has put in a lot of initiative. House is something that everyone wants, and then the water and the electrification, as I already earlier told you, by 2019 mid, already government is shouting that we have achieved. I am benefit of doubt or probably some suspicion. I think by mid 2019, India, all villages, all houses will be electrified. So with this electricity, the water and the house, the economy is going to definitely boom in rural India. So that's the significant aspect that we needed to understand for the government initiatives. He's also looking to install Wi-Fi hotspots. The information that I have is almost 1,000 digital villages are going to be created by 2019. So that is what is Indian India, digital village with Wi-Fi connectivity and those things will change the outlook of people living in that village. So digital payment, digital exposures will improve, etc. So this is a change that is going to happen. Internet is going to be made available in almost all the rural areas. So internet connectivity is going to be far better, etc. The government of India has also sought a parliament's approval to fund the expenditure of almost 60,000 crores, that is US$8.9 billion, which will be used to support the government's rural job scheme, building rural infrastructure and employment opportunity, generating it locally. So as you can see that government is focused also on creating an opportunity in a close a proximity area so that the rural youth do not move out. They remain there and bring the prosperity and develop the village. So as a result, the stress on the metros also will go down, and overall there will be by and large urbanization of the rural India that will take place. That urbanization will make the rural market more lucrative and attractive. So what is the road ahead for all of us, or what should we know as to what lies ahead for rural marketeers? So consumption in the rural regions are expected to embrace online purchase. So like we all are mad about online purchase in urban India, soon this is going to be the reality. The Amazons and Flipkart purchase will also happen by the rural consumers. And there will be a different logistics systems to reach the goods to them. Okay. The rural regions are already well converted with the digital basic communication of telecommunication. Now they will witness 4Gs and 5Gs also. So their video streaming, the data streaming is going to create an exposure of a different nature, and that will create a jump in their aspirations, their needs and wants satisfaction. They also will want to have the best in class or best in product category, the best of the brands reaching their house. Taking advantage of this development, online portals are being viewed as a key channel for companies trying to enter and establish themselves in the rural market. Online is becoming a way of life, both for urbanites. There are companies who have invested heavily in the past to build their network to reach rural India. They may not dumb that channel, but even those companies now aspire to create and develop rural market using an online route. So their tie-ups will take place with such Amazon, Flipkarts, and in future maybe Jio entering, that is Reliance Group entering the Amazon kind of online market areas, etc. The internet has become a cost effective. Just 2 or 3 days back, there was an article in Times of India, the data rate in India is the most cheapest in the world. So that goes to show that we are far more cost effective when it comes to the data based exchange. So that will really give a boost to people consuming data. I never myself could visualize that I will someday have unlimited pack, which is with 1 GB data daily, kind of thing. I may be just using 30-40% of it, but earlier checking videos or checking this thing was far cry. Today you very frequently on Facebook or any social media, videos start streaming automatically and you have no problem in watching them if it is of interest to you. You don't even mind seeing some of the good sponsorship ads, etc., because if that is of interest to you. So all this thing is going to open my eyes, my avenues, and same is the case with the rural consumers. Their eyes will open, their avenues will multiply to acquire items. They may not have to go to cities and still buy online. The goods will start reaching their homes. So that's a new millennials, or that's a new target that a rural marketers wants to really achieve, to make the difference in the rural marketing of India. So thank you friends, we really have completed chapter 1, which primarily gave you the understanding of rural market, what is happening, how consumers are changing, and what does it mean to you and me as a rural marketeer. So With this, I think I complete this chapter. Thank you.